Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, we are here. Where is here? Majestic Oaks Golf Course at Lake Lawn Resort. It's pouring here now, but what a great day it's been.
Oh my gosh, it was such a beautiful day.
Fantastic, and the gods were smiling on our golf outing because it was gorgeous all day to golf, and as soon as everybody cleared the course, that's when it started to rain.
Yes, there's a little bit of traffic in the morning, so I'm glad I had Debbie Lazaga let me know what was going on.
Well, I'm glad the police weren't on the highway where you were driving into work. I heard you were going a little fast. Is that a fair characterization?
It's fair to say, but, you know, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
We can't talk about how fast.
No, we cannot. I made it on time to work. That's the most important part.
You did. Mm-hmm. You got here. Hey, there's something exciting going on in Illinois. We've been talking a lot about the cicadas and the broods that are emerging this year and how rare it is, but something even more rare has happened.
So there's different types of animals that come sometimes one in a million. Like there's that blue lobster. Or a yellow cardinal.
Or unicorns.
Amazing. So when I was younger, I knew that there was orange eyes or the red eyes, and I loved them in the 80s when they were.
Yeah, and I thought those were the only kind of eyes.
No, there's blue-eyed cicadas. Isn't that amazing? I love it.
That's amazing.
So the Morton Arboretum, just right over the border in Illinois, is a buzz after someone brought in a blue-eyed cicada. So usually it's dark red in color, almost tomato soup orange to tan. That's what the eyes could be. The explanation for why they have blue eyes is either genetic or it's hormonal.
How rare is it?
They have found four so far. With this latest, like, big brood.
Out of all the millions and millions, there's been only four?
Four identified.
Wow.
And basically, they took a look at it, and they identified that all of them are female, so that's the only thing that they saw. So that's why they think it could be something hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
The male cicadas are the only ones that make the big noise.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes. And then if a female likes it, then they start flicking their wings that only the male
does that make
hear.
A noise?
Not that we
that
can
we
really
can hear, but the males can.
Yes.
So it's the males are doing the talking. Like, hey, girl, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Exactly. So what I found so cool was that out of all of these, you know, what is it, billions of cicadas?
Yeah, it's going to be billions. Yeah.
Okay. A four-year-old found the blue-eyed cicada.
Oh, like in his yard?
Mm-hmm. And named him Bluey. So when you see a cicada, and I didn't realize this, I learned so much about this after reading this article. When you see a cicada on the ground, they're not supposed to be on the ground. They're supposed to be really, really high up in the trees. So then they can, you know, do their little lovey song. So then all the women can hear a little bit better.
So they're not happy if they're down in the grass. They want to be up in the tree.
I don't know why they would be down there. They need to procreate. They need to be at the tip top.
Get up in that tree.
Get on up there.
So what did the family do with the blue-eyed cicada?
So they brought it to the Morton Arboretum, and they were fascinated by it. And then the arborist that, you know, takes care of all of what you entomologist, is that what it's called?
Entomologist, yeah. Uh-huh.
When we had the tick on the back of your leg and you freaked out.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Yes.
Took it to a really nice tree and brought it to the top so then it can procreate. So the cicada's fine, alive. They didn't, you know, try to kill it and keep it and pin it. They want to make sure that cicada can live on, and maybe we'll see more blue eyes. But that is so rare. So rare. Probably worth money. I don't know.
So I'm looking now, and there's another one that's been found in that same area down in Illinois.
Yes.
And this one, they did stick a pin in it, and they donated it to the Field Museum. This one's in the Field Museum in Chicago.
You lost the blue eyes.
Yes. Well, they want other generations to be able to see the blue eyes.
Oh,
yeah, this one's got a pin through it. He's not feeling too good right now.
That's terrible.
Uh-huh. So if you want to see a picture of the cicada, you can text the word watch. You can see our live stream, including a picture of the cicada, 855-616-1620. Text the word watch, 855-616-1620. Isaac, keep the picture up here for a little bit so that people can get a chance to see it.
Yes, throughout this commercial, we'll have it. You can see the blue-eyed cicada.
It's incredible. 855-616-1620. Text the word watch, and you can see this very rare cicada.
Never knew about it. I was today years old when I knew that there was a blue-eyed cicada.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty good stuff, so check that out. All right, there is severe weather to the west of us. It is coming our direction. We're expecting that there could be more watches and warnings that are issued. We are on top of that. We'll let you know what's going on with that. How about those Brewers? They took care of Chicago baseball teams the last week, didn't they, big time? Lane Grindle, Brewers broadcaster, joins us from the ballpark up next on WTMJ. Take me out to the ball game. All right, let's bring in our friend, Brewers broadcaster, Lane Grindle.
Yes.
Lane, good afternoon. Where are you?
We are in Philly, and we're right here at the ballpark watching batting practice, getting ready for a big series between two of the top three teams in the National League, and the Phillies and the Brewers.
Oh, those fans are so rowdy.
Yeah, they are. This is going to be a great series.
Yeah, it looks like a great series, and the Brewers are going to get some of the best from the Phillies in this series. They're going to get Zach Wheeler tonight, who's been one of the top pitchers in baseball the last handful of years. And in the finale on Wednesday, they'll get Aaron Nola. And by the way, you don't get to 41 wins on the year like the Phillies have gotten to without the rest of your rotation doing a pretty good job, too. So they get Sanchez Kidd tomorrow night. That's been good for them as well. So this will be a really big challenge. Brewers are playing some very good baseball coming into this series. The Phillies have been really hot since about week two of the season, and they're actually the best record in the National League. So this will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
What has impressed you the most about this Brewers team? Take us inside the homestand and kind of handicap for us what really impressed you about the seven games against the Chicago teams.
Well, I think, and Pat Murphy will say this in his radio show tonight, I think the thing that maybe is the most impressive is that they had a very emotional series against the Cubs for a bunch of reasons that we could talk about for a long time. But the real reality is it's a divisional rival. It's a team that you're always ready to play against and excited to play against. And they take three of four. The only game they lose is in extra innings. But I think what they did after that is even more impressive, because you're playing a White Sox team that if they aren't the worst team in baseball, they're certainly one of the worst teams in baseball. And it would have been easy to come out of that Cubs series and have a little bit of a letdown. I don't know that you worry about that as much in a 162-game baseball season as you do in some of the other sports, but it's still a thing. And they took care of business, and they had to come from behind in some of those games in order to do so. And I just think that's been, if there's been a theme to this team through the first, what will be 60 games after tonight of this season, it's the competitive nature of this club, the way they don't give away at-bats late, the way if they have a lead, they try to give themselves a little extra cushion because they know how much that can help them for the rest of a series, the way if they are down, they keep fighting and keep scrapping and clawing, and the next thing you know, they get the tying run at the plate late in a game where you might have given up on it in the fifth inning. I think that's been a real hallmark of this team this year, and I think it's accounted for extra wins that you wouldn't have if that wasn't a big part of this team's identity.
Rhys Hoskins heads back to Philadelphia. Tell us about that storyline.
Well, just got done listening to him talk with the media, and I counted, I think, 36 different reporters that were actually in the dugout listening to him talk about what this was going to mean to him tonight. There were seven different television cameras in his face as well. He's beloved here. This is a guy that played for 6 years for the Phillies. He was a part of some lean years early, and then, of course, a part of some really fun playoff runs, specifically for him in 22 when they got all the way to the World Series. He's a special guy. We've learned that being around him at the Brewers clubhouse over this start to the season, and it's very apparent when you talk to people from Philadelphia. They love this guy. It's going to be emotional for him. I expect him to get a huge ovation when he comes to the plate in what will be either the first inning or maybe it'll be the second inning. He's batting sixth in the lineup here tonight. And I think you'll see the game pause. I think you'll maybe see him have some tears. He told the media, he said, "I'm a bit of a crier, so I anticipate I might cry when I first come to the plate tonight. This place means a lot to him." But he also understands that he's on a team that has a chance to do something special, and he loves his teammates in Milwaukee as well. So this will be... And he shied away from using the term closure, but I think in many ways a good chance for him to turn the page completely now on a great time that he had in a Phillies uniform. And he has nothing but respect for this organization and these fans and what it all means to him. But I think he's fully invested in being a Brewer now moving forward.
So it won't be a Craig Council moment.
No. I think the fans are going to give Reese a great ovation here tonight. I think it'll be a very positive and a very long ovation when he comes to the plate for the first time tonight.
That'll be exciting. We have the best beer and brats, and the American Family Field is the best. But what are you looking forward to in Philly with the food?
Oh, I mean, you got to have a cheesesteak. That's a given, right? You're in Philadelphia, you have to have a cheesesteak. Now, I'll tell you a story. 2019, we were here for, I think it was a four-game series. Might have even had an off day somewhere in there. And then we went to Atlanta to play the Braves. And when we got to Atlanta, we went to lunch the first day with Kent Sommerfeld, our esteemed producer, 39 years as the producer of the Brewers Radio Network. And the first day in Atlanta, Kent ordered a Philly cheesesteak. And I said, well, we were just in Philadelphia. And he said, yeah, I know, I didn't have one while we were there. And I said, so you waited till we got to Atlanta and you ordered a cheesesteak. True story. But I love to get a cheesesteak when I'm here. I usually try to limit myself to one, but they're phenomenal. If you find the right place.
Oh, you can't stop at one.
One a day.
Yeah, right.
Lane Grindle. You know, look, 43 and a father of four, I got to be a little bit careful these days.
Hey, Lane, we appreciate you always making time for us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect, a Fleet Farm storm team alert for Waukesha County and Jefferson County. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 5 o'clock. Heavy weather's headed our direction. Could include some hail and straight-line winds, and hopefully nothing more severe than that, but we will keep our eyes on it. All right, Rose Gray is going to join us talking travel and golf destinations coming up in just a couple of minutes here, but another travel topic that I found absolutely fascinating. 75% of Americans say they do this before they go on vacation, every single time they go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I already told you what it is, so I was going to ask you if you know what it is. But this I find...
Wait, what was my guess? Oh.
What did you
guess? No, let's not bring that back up.
So 75% of Americans say that every time before they go on vacation, they clean their house from top to bottom. That they absolutely scrub it down. And I'm not just talking about make sure the dishwasher's loaded and make sure there's no crap on the counters. They do all their laundry. They can make sure all the bathrooms are completely done. They sweep and mop the floors. 75% of Americans. Now, in my house, Michelle is like this. We don't really mop the floor, maybe, but she will not only, like, I'll say, let's load the dishwasher before we go on because you're not going to leave stuff laying out, but let's load the dishwasher and run it.
We do that, yes.
She will wake up early enough to make sure the dishwasher gets run, and then it gets unloaded. So we run the dishwasher, we unload the dishwasher. There are times where we're getting ready to leave to go out of town, and she wants the house so perfect before we leave that we don't get out the door when I want to because we are unloading the dishwasher. We're putting everything back in the cupboards. Are you a cleaner before you go out of town? Do you make sure your house is clean?
That's always my goal. It would be nice. But then we come back to complete tornado disaster. And I'm like, why? How are we living like this? And I'm on your wife's side. That's why. You want to come back to everything in order because, you know, you're getting your ducks in a row all over again. And you don't want to be stuck like me having to do the laundry at the last minute. There's already enough laundry you need to do after a vacation.
Right, because you're coming back with it. And it is stressful when you go away and you come back and you walk in the house and you've had a great trip. And you're like, oh, my God, the bedroom's a disaster. Like, we were packing and just left stuff everywhere.
Back to reality.
That is a bad, bad sign. 66% in the survey said they're so excited about their upcoming travel that it motivates them to clean up before they leave. Because they're in this good mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You have energy, you're packing, you're ready to go. 66% say thinking about the week ahead, not just thinking about when you come back, but thinking about the week ahead and that excitement motivates them to clean their house. Another kind of interesting thing that was in the statistic, in addition to cleaning their homes, travelers also take the time to clean their most used travel items, including their luggage, before they go. 40% clean the inside and outside of their luggage.
Do you do that?
I've never cleaned the outside of my luggage.
Mm-mm.
Have you?
No.
Why? Why would I do that?
I have no idea.
40% say they routinely clean the inside and outside of their luggage. I've definitely never cleaned the inside unless, like,
you did something
there's
rugged.
Sand or something in there.
That's what I was thinking.
Who cleans it? Like, I might turn it upside down, I guess, if there's sand, and shake it out.
Ew.
I'm not taking, like, the vacuum cleaner, though. Do you?
No. No, not at all. I have a bright orange. That's what I have.
Oh, that's good, because everybody else at the airport is a black suitcase on the baggage carousel.
There's no way I'm not going to see it. And it's
that's
super
fantastic.
Tough.
That's a great idea. So mm-hmm. do you have a hard shell suitcase or
really
soft shell?
Really hard. Yeah, really hard shell.
Do you feel like you have less room than if you had a soft-sided one?
No, not at all.
How big is it? Do you have a big
one?
Oh,
like
big,
yeah.
Big?
Huge. And I have three of them and then a smaller one.
How much of the space is taken up by shoes?
Your daughters. Tell them about your daughters with the one trip.
So we went on a cruise, and the daughters, my daughters, both agreed, and they took big, huge suitcases, and they decided to put all their suitcase clothes. One suitcase was for clothes. A whole big suitcase was just shoes. They literally had 40 pairs of shoes for a week on a cruise ship.
I had to remove maybe 5 shoes. Otherwise, it would have been over 50 pounds, is it?
Yeah.
When
yeah,
I was coming yeah. back from Hawaii. And I said, don't worry, I'll just pay it. And he goes, it's a $100 extra fee.
Wait, you were coming back home?
For United, yeah.
So you left shoes behind?
No. I took them.
Put them in a carry-on?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I was gonna say, you're not leaving shoes behind, right? 23% say they are embarrassed because of how their luggage looks. If I was embarrassed by how it looks, I would get rid of it.
Well, mine came with my bridal showers, and I love them. That was my number one thing I wanted.
And that was, 5 years ago,
was
roughly?
New luggage. Yeah.
That's awesome.
5-year-old luggage.
Well, maybe you should join the percentage of Americans that actually clean their luggage. Maybe you feel better
no.
if you cleaned it.
That's overkill.
Jason would do anything you want. Ask Jason to clean your luggage.
Oh, my gosh. Blast from the past. Okay, so he, right when the pandemic hit, do you remember the pandemic? Obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, what's that?
Yeah, what's that? So March 13th, he was in Malibu and all of that happened. So he was covering a big automaker. He was doing some type of commercial because he's a photographer. And so I let him enjoy himself. When he came back, I wanted to wipe down everything and to immediately take a shower because, you know, the mm-hmm. pandemic just hit. You don't know how mm-hmm. it's coming. He thought I was psychotic. He's like, why are you having me? No, don't wipe that down. You can't wipe that down. And then a few days later, he's like, oh, no, I see why you wanted me to. Now I know you wanted you wanted me to take a shower and wipe down that. That's the only time I ever wanted him to wipe down something.
All right, Jason, we know you listen to the show, and we're going to leave here in 20 minutes. Julia will be home probably a little bit after 6 o'clock tonight. Have the luggage cleaned up. That'd be a really nice surprise for her. Get the orange suitcase out and clean it down.
Yeah, he usually listens around this time between now and about 5:15. He's always, I always say something and about him, and then he's always listening.
Michelle's favorite is when we're out with other people, like 2 weeks from now, and she'll say, someone will say to Michelle, oh, I heard that you like to empty the dishwasher before you, and she's, oh, yeah, our life's an open book, right? It is 4:42 at WTMJ. My computer just binged. That means there's probably another watch or warning. So they're saying that there is heavy weather, strong thunderstorms that will impact northwestern Racine, Waukesha, Jefferson, Dodge counties until 5:15. And there is actually one warning that is still out. That is a severe thunderstorm warning. A Fleet Farm storm team alert for Waukesha and Jefferson County. A severe thunderstorm warning goes until 5 o'clock. All right, we're going to continue the travel conversation with our favorite person, Rose Gray, Fox World Travel, talking golf destinations. Hey, we do pretty well in Wisconsin when it comes to golf. That's up next on WTMJ. Fox World Travel's Rose Gray is here. She was in the golf outing today with Mr. Rose Gray, who is here waiting. He's in the wings. Rose can be heard 9 o'clock Saturday mornings on WTMJ. He's like you're the first lady of travel. He would be the first gentleman of travel.
Sort of like Kamala Harris has a first gentleman.
That's right.
There you
right.
go. There first you go. Gentleman.
Larry, good to gentleman. See you. Larry's got the best gig of any second person that I know.
If I agree.
Rose, let's talk golf. First off, how'd you shoot today? How'd you do?
One over par.
So that's great.
Well, we didn't win anything, but you know what?
That's fun.
A shout out to Majestic Oaks. I've never golfed here before. So thank you. This was amazing. Thank you, WTMJ, for asking us.
It's very nice. How'd you shoot personally? How'd you hit them?
Not very well. I drank a couple bottles of wine last night. We stayed here. We stayed at the resort.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah. So if they have it here again, ever, we'll stay over again.
That's a great, great, great idea. Hey, let's talk golf a little bit because when I travel, and you travel a lot too, people talk about Wisconsin, where you can only golf half the year, as one of the premier places in the world to golf.
Isn't that crazy? And so I feel a little bit guilty because I live in Sheboygan County. I've got the best of all things. So if you go on Wisconsin's tourism website, Straits Course at Whistling Straits, number one. Okay? Yeah. That's 20 minutes from my home. Erin Hills, number two.
Yep.
Black Wolf, the River Course at Black Wolf, Sand Valley at Nakusa, Mammoth Dunes at Nakusa, Irish Course at Whistling Straits. But how about Century World in Stevens Point?
That's yeah, Central Wisconsin. Yeah,
Lasonia. Yep, Meadows Valley Course at Black Wolf, and then I love this, the Bull in Sheboygan Falls.
Oh.
Because if you're staying in Kohler, sometimes, oh my gosh, you've just dropped a boatload of money on golfing, and you want to still golf. The Bull is a Jack Nicklaus course, but it's affordable. So I love that. And I have to get a shout out for the Baths at Black Wolf. People don't know about this.
I don't.
So it's a 10-hole executive course that's very affordable, so authentic I can't even tell you. They've got leather bags, like from the old days, with the logo on it.
Oh.
And there's an 18-hole putting green that's free. There isn't much that's free at Kohler. This is free. You go to the bag drop at Black Wolf, you get on one of the carts, and they'll take you down there. Tees are included. Our balls are included, and they have clubs down there. So if you don't know what to do one afternoon, you just take the kids to the 18-hole golf course.
That's amazing. I didn't know that was a thing. Do you have to stay there to do that?
You don't. You don't.
Really?
Nope. You don't have to be a resident. They don't ask for anything. You just go and do that. Now, I've got a quick question for you. When you're planning a golf vacation, or let's say a vacation you're going to golf, how many rounds do you have to golf before you will take your clubs along?
That's a great question. We've had this discussion in our family. I say two. Okay. I think if I'm going to golf more than once.
Yep.
What is it for you?
I think we vacillate between two times and three times.
Yeah.
Because you can rent clubs. Usually the clubs are great. If you don't golf well, you can blame it on the rental club. But I do want to point something else out that I am going to try. We at Fox World Travel have been working with a company called Luggage Free. And this is a company that will ship your bags ahead of time, but they'll also do skis and golf clubs.
Oh, wow.
Because I was going to say, forget it. I'm not going to pay
again,
them.
Again, you've got to be a pretty good golfer, a pretty good skier to pay the price to send your clubs in advance or your skis in advance.
Is it expensive? But, like, to check a set of golf clubs, what does it cost?
It's a bag, so it's $50 approximately. Sometimes they're considered oversized. And you can always go on Southwest and not pay for the bags if you're doing domestic.
What does that cost with this company?
This is about $100.
Okay, so a little more.
Care of
they
it.
Take good care of it.
It's very convenient.
Insurance and those kinds of things. So Luggage Free if you're ever thinking about shipping bags or clubs or skis ahead of time.
That's a great idea. And to your list, you know, we have a couple great public courses. People talk about Washington County as being very good.
Yes.
Brown Deer, which used to host the event. That was Tiger's first event as a pro, was here in Milwaukee at Brown Deer. You were there for that?
I was there for that.
That's really cool.
That
so we have great public courses, too, which are very affordable.
Milwaukee County Parks.
We're very lucky here. We're very blessed. So for people who don't think we get to golf, they're just wrong. Wrong.
Let's talk about traveling overseas for golf, because lots of people plan golf trips and they go to Ireland is the big one, but they go around the world and golf. How easy is that? How affordable is that? That's a thing, isn't it?
It's not only a thing. People are doing it more and more because they want to put that on the list of this is where I've golfed. It's a little tricky to golf at the old course at St. Andrews, but it can be done. I just helped a former WTMJ employee work with one of our Brookfield associates who got him tee times on the old course at St. Andrews.
Yes. I didn't know you could do that.
You can. It's a lottery system.
Yeah.
But if you golf one of the other courses, then you have that perk. So, yeah.
That's super cool.
Again, those are kinds of things that you may not want to do. You know, Kohler has a course in Scotland, and it's the Dukes.
Ooh.
So, and that's easy enough to get on. So if you can't get on the old course, you could also do the Kohler course.
So have you golfed overseas?
I've golfed in Ireland, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing more of that. And we're going to start doing some trips where we're taking some of our fans along to golf in Ireland. It's a little tricky because you've got to make sure that you've got something for the non-golfer to do when the golfer's golfing.
But, oh, you have to do that. Right, that would be the best trip ever. I mean,
that'd be incredible.
But you do have to find, you know, something for someone else
to
do.
For the plus ones to do.
Right.
For 6 hours or more.
Right. But we can do that. And as a golfer, you have to make the decision, I'm going to not get to go see that castle because I'm going to go golfing. Those are the trade-offs we have to make. So,
if you rent clubs, what does club rental generally cost?
Yeah, around $50.
Okay.
You know, it's not that much. So, again, you kind of got to do the math and decide, am I taking my own club? And am I hauling my clubs? And then the other question is, do you have a good travel bag? You know, remember back in the old days when they looked like torpedoes and they weighed a ton? Now they're very lightweight and they're easy to get
around. They used to all be hard case, and they're not anymore.
At all. But again, that all costs money, and so you have to decide, am I going to make golf a priority on this trip?
How often do you golf here in Wisconsin?
Once a week.
Okay. Yeah. How much better are you than Larry?
Not at all. This guy is the most patient teacher ever. You know, they always said, don't let your husband teach you how to drive, or don't let your father teach you how to drive. This guy could be my golf coach anytime.
Larry, do you give lessons?
Will you give lessons?
Well, Larry, will you give lessons to me and Julia? He said yes.
Yeah.
Julia, I bet you have really cute golf outfits.
Oh, yeah. That would be my number one thing.
Of course.
It's the best part. You
got to look good. That's
the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want help sorting all this out, you need to get in touch with the folks at Fox World Travel. They have people who are experts in golf in Wisconsin. They can help you golf in Scotland and England and Ireland. They will hook you up big time.
Wow.
Rose, what's the easiest way to get in touch with the folks?
It's always 866-GO-FOX-GO, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But also, if you hit us up on our website, there's a Let's Connect button, and then they sort those things out. Then they will give that lead to the person that is the golf expert, and then you don't have to jump through all those hoops as well.
So check out the website. That's what I do. There's a lot of great information on there. You might be excited when you see where they're going around the world.
Exactly.
You can hear Rose Gray Saturdays at 9 on the Rose Gray Fox World Travel Show. Rose, it's so great to have you here.
Thanks
for being part of our event today.
You know, it was just such a blessing, and I hope I get asked again next year.
You will.
Absolutely.
You will.